Exodus chapter 4, if you will, stand, would you find your place there? Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to start off reading two verses to you here, and we're going to get to a lot more scripture this morning, so y'all bear with me. I think it's okay to read the Bible in church, so you listen up. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said to him, What is that in thine hand? He said, A rod." Especially on my heart this morning. Any of you ever go through any trials or any stress about different things? Brother Dale this morning talking about getting stressed and throwing a fit like Jonah did. Any of you ever let it affect you like that in different ways? Does it ever bother you? Things, trials and things bother you? Any of you ever try to handle it and fix it on your own? That's what I usually try to do, try to fix it on my own so it don't work. And then I finally give up and give it to the Lord like I'm supposed to in the first place. Some things are beyond our control. Some things are beyond our repair. You ought to give it to the Lord. He's a lot more capable of handling those things than we are. The verse I read to you, Moses there in the wilderness. I always love reading that verse. It's funny to me. I don't know why. It's amusing. The Lord said, Moses, what's that in your hand? Moses said, it's a stick. It's a rod. Not much, Lord. No more explanation, nothing else. Moses says, Lord, I got a stick. That's what I got, a rod. I want to ask you the same question today. I am going somewhere with this. What's that in your hand? What's it in your hand? What is it that you're holding on to? Or what is it that's holding on to you that you aren't willing to give up and give to the Lord? Or what is it that you have that God might be able to use? What's in your hand? What do you possess that God can use? Maybe you've made the excuse, well, I don't have the ability of so-and-so. I can't talk like so-and-so can. That's the excuse Moses used here. Or I'm maybe not as spiritual as somebody else is. Or maybe I don't have the money that somebody else has. Whatever that your excuse is. And ask this morning, you're going to hear it over and over again. What's in your hand? Moses says, Lord, you want me to lead a nation out of Egypt? Lord, all I have is a stick. Lord, you want me to use that? Something that I've learned, whatever is in my hand is much more valuable in the Lord's hands. A basketball in my hand is barely worth what you paid for. It's pretty worthless. You're probably going to go flat. You take that basketball and put it in LeBron James' hand or Michael Jordan's hand. That's worth millions to this world and worth millions of dollars. Suddenly that basketball is worth a lot of money. You put a rifle in my hand, it's worth a little bit. I can get some food. I can protect my family, have some fun. You put that in the hand of a highly trained soldier, it can defend our nation with the same thing. A slingshot in my hand is not worth much. I'm probably going to break it, to be honest with you. Put it in King David's hand, he slayed a giant with it, with the Lord's help. My life in my hands is not worth very much. Maybe I can turn some wrenches, make a little bit of money to provide for my family. Maybe, if the Lord lets me. But in God's hands, there's no telling what God might do. So I'm going to ask you today, what's in your hand? That verse I just read, verse number 2, the Lord said to him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. God here is meeting with Moses. What's going on in this verse here? To understand the context of this verse, I've got to go back one chapter, chapter number 3, and see where Moses and the Lord are at here. Chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God is talking to Moses through the burning bush. You know this passage. You've heard it many times. A bush is on fire, not being burned up. In the beginning of chapter number 3, God appears in the bush, gets Moses' attention. God begins to tell Moses the plan he has for Moses. God's plan for Moses, how he's going to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. In verse 4, at the end of that, what does Moses say? He said, here am I. Lord, you called me out of the midst of the bush. Moses said, here am I. Like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Moses says, here am I. God has appeared in a bush to Moses in the middle of the desert. The bush cries out. Moses is talking to a bush. Bush says, Moses, Moses. Moses says, here am I. I'm talking to the Lord. Next few verses down to verse number 10, God begins to reveal his plans to Moses, what God's will for Moses' life is. Verse number 11 of Exodus 3. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? In verse 4 was, here am I. Now in verse number 11, it's, who am I? For the rest of the chapter, Moses goes back and forth with God, who, by the way, he's still talking to him through a bush. is telling God why he can't do it. Moses is telling God why God's plan is not going to work out. If you've tried that before, it's not going to work for you. So if you get the picture here, Moses, he's standing with the sheep in the middle of the backside of the desert, it says, arguing with the bush that's on fire. Never know what work of God will put you. Put you in some amusing, comical situations sometimes. Trust me. Notice Moses' attitude changes. He says, here am I, beginning. Now he says, who am I? Lord, to paraphrase here, Moses' attitude is what we can read here. Moses' attitude is, Lord, have you lost it? Lord, you've got the wrong guy. Lord, I can't do. Lord, all I have is a rod. Lord, are you sure? Who am I to do this job you've called me to do? Have any of you ever thought that before? Lord, I can't do that. Lord, all I have is a rod. Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, who am I? I can't go there, Lord. I can't do that. Lord, I can't teach that class. I don't have that bill. Lord, I can't do this. And I can't do that. Moses says, who am I, Lord? First, I'm looking at this rod and through this Moses' life here. There's many passages we can get to and get to just a few of them this morning and talk about this rod, the rod that Moses had that God can use. He doesn't have much, but he has a rod. Number one, we see the commonality of it. Where did Moses get his rod from? What kind of rod was it? Well, the first mention of it is where I started off this morning, chapter 4, verse 2. We know that we read a minute ago, God appeared to Moses while he was in the backside of the desert, keeping the flock of his father-in-law. Moses was keeping sheep when he had the rod. So what is Moses doing? What is he? He's shepherding. He has a shepherd's rod. That's what he has here. We learned a little bit about the rod when we studied Psalms 23. Just put it simply, this rod is nothing special. It's a stick used to help shepherds in the shepherding of sheep. Probably had a blunt end for hitting things, a pointy end for poking things. Pretty worthless in the hands of anybody but a shepherd. What would be so special about this rod that God would point it out and ask Moses about this rod? Why would God look over and say, Moses, what's that in your hand? What's so special about this rod? Absolutely nothing. It's common. Every shepherd has one. It's a common rod of a shepherd. Everybody around had the same thing. His father-in-law probably had one. The other shepherds there probably had one too. But Moses' rod got pointed out by God because of the rod in his hand. Moses didn't possess anything different than anybody else did. He was common. Which is probably why Moses seemed so confused when God asked him what's in his hand. Moses said, it's a rod, Lord. We all got one. What's the difference? And let you in a little secret this morning. You know what people that God uses in church to do great things, you know what they have that's different from other people? Absolutely nothing. Then why would they get used of God? Because they're available and willing to say, here am I. We talked about that recently, the lad's lunch over in the book of Luke and through all the Gospels. The lunch wasn't anything special, it was just available and God was prepared and God used him. What was so special about lunch? Nothing. Nothing better than anybody else. If you're trying to come up with something special that God can use, it's never going to turn out. Let me go ahead and burst your bubble for you. You're not going to impress God with anything you can do. You will never impress God. He created everything. He created the universe. He's in control of everything. You will not impress God with anything you can do. It's not going to happen. God used the rod that was common. It wasn't special to Moses. It wasn't special to anybody. They all had one. It was not Moses' ability. It was not his heritage. It was not anything in and of itself that made him beneficial to God to use. He was just available. Even when he tried to argue his way out of it, much like John did, we learned about in Sunday school. He tried to argue his way out of it. We see the commonality of the rod. It's just a shepherd's rod. Everybody has one. God can use everybody, anybody. We see the commonality. We see the claiming of it. Back to chapter number 4, down to verse number 17. It says, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. God says, I'm going to take that rod that you have, and I'm going to use it. Verse 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go, I pray, then return to my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his son and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Notice the claiming of it. I skipped over a couple of verses there. In Exodus 4, you read those later on. But God told Moses to take that rod and to lay it down. He became a serpent. That's in the verse I skipped over. God told him to grab it by the tail. He did so, and it became a rod again. What is God doing? God is proving to Moses what was just a rod in Moses' hand can be whatever God wants it to be in God's hands. Just a rod to Moses is a big thing to God. God tells Moses in verse 17, you take this rod, and with it I will do signs. God has plans for Moses with his rod. God's going to use the rod over and over again in Moses' ministry. Moses didn't have much. God says, I'll take it. and I'll use it. And in my hands, it can be whatever I want it to be. Look down at the end of that verse, number 20. You probably already saw it when I read past it earlier. It says that Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Moses said, God said, thou shalt take this rod. And Moses said, Moses took the rod of God. Back in chapter, beginning of chapter 4, verse number 2, that was Moses' shepherd's rod. Then in verse number 20, that's the rod of God. What changed? Changed who's claiming it. Who's controlling it. You want your simple, common life to become great and do great things. You want your rod, simple rod that everybody else has. You want it to be special to God. You change who's in control of it. Young people, do you want to grow up to be mediocre? I hope not. You want to grow up to be do great things for God. I hope you have big plans. I hope you want to do great things for God with your future. You know the secret? Who's in control of it? And making decisions and choices. Who makes the choices? Do you seek God's guidance? You just jump to conclusions, whatever's best for you. Who's in control? Who's claiming the rod? Moses doesn't have Moses' rod anymore. Moses is holding the rod of God. He gave it to God. What do you have you're holding on to? Is it a burden? Well, let him handle it. Is it a choice about your future? Let him handle it. Hand it over to him. Is it family or health or whatever other problems? Hand it over to him. This is a lot more capable in the hands of God than it is in your hands. Moses' rod was a lot stronger, a lot more powerful when it was God's rod than it was when it was Moses' rod. In God's hands, rod's going to do a lot more valuable things for his work. This rod has changed from a simple stick in the hand of a shepherd to a miracle-working tool in the hands of the Savior. What's that in your hand? Just a rod. Nothing much. Just give it to God. Well, Lord, it's just a rod. I don't have much. I can't do such and such. It's just a rod. Just give it to God. The matter is he's in control of it. We see the commotion caused by it. Turn over to chapter number 7. Exodus 7, just a couple chapters over. Down to verse number 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants and became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men, the sorcerers, and the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast on every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So Moses and Aaron, they go in before Pharaoh. They cast down the rod like that God told them to do. Aaron's rod at this point, he becomes a serpent. The sorcerers do it as well. And Moses' rod, or Aaron's rod, ate their other rods. You say, well, how do they do it? How do the sorcerers, these magicians, how do they turn their rods into serpents? It's the power of Satan. Satan does have power. He was able to work. He has the power of the air. So, but I'm glad God's still in control. Even though he has the power to change it to a serpent, Aaron's rod ate the other rods. God's still in control. Down to verse number 20, continuing on, verse chapter number 7. And Moses and Aaron did so as were commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of the servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. The same rod. Now it can use to turn water to blood all throughout Egypt. It's brought judgment. Down in verse chapter 8, verse number 5, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. Causing frogs now. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that they might become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Over and over again, this rod is used. It's not mentioned in all 10 plagues. Majority, it specifically mentions that Aaron is holding up his rod. You might wonder, why is Aaron holding up the rod and not Moses? This is Moses' rod again. Why is Aaron doing it now? Because Moses' unbelief and unwillingness to follow God without his brother speaking for him. He didn't believe God. He didn't have faith he needed. Moses had to allow Aaron to use the rod. That's one of the messages for another time. We see his handicap because of his lack of faith. So they keep going with the plagues. Over and over again, this rod is being used for God's will. God is punishing Pharaoh to prove himself. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God do it to prove who God is, how powerful he is, prove it to Israel. He's doing that through the use of this simple, common little rod. We see the commotion caused by a simple little shepherd's rod. It's been placed in the hands of an almighty God. In the hands of Moses alone, it was only good for shepherding sheep. But the hands of God is causing a torment in the entire nation of Egypt. Probably the most powerful nation at that time, the Pharaoh of Egypt. What could God do with what me and you have? If God can do that with a simple stick, what could he do with us? Something to think about. You say, well, Lord, I sure don't have much to offer you. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I don't have much to offer. I just have a rod. Imagine what God could do. See the commotion caused by this rod. We see the commission of the rod. Verse number 14. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 14. A few chapters over here. It says in chapter 14, verse 14, "Lord shall fight for you, you shall hold your peace." The Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." The same thing that God used to cause the commotion in the camp of the enemy, God used it to save His own people. Don't underestimate what God can do with a little old rod. Moses held the rod up, the sea divided, they walked across on dry ground. A few verses down, we read about Egypt's army coming after Israel. They tried crossing the Red Sea. Moses again stretched out his hand again with the rod. He just came back and destroyed the army of Egypt. He didn't have to lift a finger. He just held his rod up. God destroyed the army for him. God kept His promise, get peace in the nation of Israel by using a rod. God's not done with it yet. Chapter 17, verse number 5. Exodus 17, verse number 5. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smokest the river, take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come a water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." So God had used this rod. He's used it to slay the enemy. He's used it to bring judgment on the enemy. He's used it to slay the enemy. He's used this rod to keep safe His people across the Red Sea, across the Jordan River, across different things. And now He's used this rod to supply the need of His people. Not only that destroy the enemy, He's used it to take care of His people. You see verse number 8 in the same chapter. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put under him. He sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the right hand, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." What happened? The enemy came. They just got the water. They finally got water. Now the enemy's come to fight against them. Moses, now an old man, he tells Joshua, "You go fight, and I'll go up to the top of the hill above the battle between you and God, and I'll take this old rod." God's used it before over and over again. God's used it to slay the enemy. God's used it to protect His people. God's used it to supply the need of His people. Just maybe He could do that again with this old rod. Moses goes up to the top of the hill. The men follow him up there, Aaron and Hur, and he holds it up to the Lord. Moses goes up to the top of the hill, holds the top of it as high as he can. He holds the rod up as high as he can, holds it up to the Lord. I don't know what I was going through in Moses' mind at this time. But I imagine he's looking back over the years. This rod has been in control of God. He probably looked back at what it used to do before that bush. It used to take care of the wolves and different things with the sheep. He could look at that. He could look at what has happened since that bush, how God's used it time and time again. He probably remembered when God used it to cause all that commotion back in Egypt. He probably remembered when God used it to slay the enemy. He probably remembered how it supplied the water. And now he's holding up as high as he can to God, praying that God would bring them victory. And what happens? As long as the rod is held up, they're winning. When the rod goes down, they start to lose. As long as we're holding our rod up to God, saying, "Lord, I know what You've done in the past. I know You can do it again." As long as we're getting close to God's account, offering Him our lives, "Lord, You use me, however You see fit." As long as we're offering it to the Lord, you're going to have victory. Yes, trials will come. Yes, battles will come. We can't lose if we're living for the Lord. We can't lose. You start to fade away. You start to backslide. You start to let that rod down. You can mark it down. Trouble will follow. The battle's going to follow. It's going to get harder. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to ask you again, what's that in your hand? The preacher, it's not much. I don't have much ability. I can't do this or that. Perfect. Just a candidate for God to use. And you realize you're nothing. By the way, we're all nothing to Him. I don't care how talented you are. In His eyes, we're nothing. In His eyes, He loves us. We don't compare. Nothing without Him. Moses said he wasn't capable either. Look what God allowed him to do. Look at the things that Rod experienced. because Moses handed over to God. Don't you ever underestimate what God can do with what you have. Maybe you've been keeping back the rod for yourself. Maybe you're too busy shepherding with the rod to offer it to the Lord. Lord, I can't give you this rod right now. I got to use it for these sheep over here. I still need it. God can do much greater things with the rod than you could. God can do much greater things with your life than you can. Maybe you gave it to God in the past, but you're late. You've been backflipping. You're letting that rod down again. Won't you hold it back up to Him again? Give it to Him. Get it right. Get close to Him again. Offer it up to Him again. Are you as close to God as you have? And I've asked you that question in the past. If you're not as close to Him as you ever have been, it's time to step up. You're backslidden. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. Nobody looking around. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I don't have much. Maybe it's just a rod, but I want to be used of God." Anyone here today willing to say that? I want God to use me. I don't want to embarrass you. Slip your hand up. I just want you to admit it. Do you want God to use you? If that's the case, you want God to use you, quit making excuses. Make yourself available. It doesn't matter your ability. God can handle that. You've seen availability. Moses couldn't talk. He had a stutter. God said, "Who made the mouth? I did." Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, I'd like to be used of God, but to be honest, I don't know if I'm saved or not." Anyone here like that this morning? If you died right now, do you know 100% sure where you would go? If not, today would be a day to get that settled. Anybody want to say that this morning? "I'm not saved, preacher." If altar's open down here, I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know if you're not saved, or maybe you just want to give your life to the Lord again and hold you right up to Him again. Why don't you get it settled this morning? Give it to Him. Maybe you are saved. Maybe it's time you just bring that rod down to the altar and offer it to Him again. Give your life to Him again. It says in Isaiah 6:8, "Also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And said, 'I, here am I, send me.'" Anybody want to say that today? "Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here's my rod. It's not much. I know it's not much. Use it however you want." Why don't you quit trying to handle it on your own? Maybe it's a burden this morning. Why don't you quit trying to handle it on your own? Give it back to Him. It's a lot more capable in His hands than it is in your hands anyway. Imagine if King David chose to go home with his sheep instead of trusting God to use his hand and his sling. Imagine if Peter and other disciples decided to continue fishing instead of trusting God to make them fishers of men and giving them over to Him. Our life is a whole lot better in His hands than it is in our hands. A lot better position in His hands than it would be in your hands. Why don't you give it to Him? What's that in your hand this morning? What are you holding on to? We thank this day, we thank forgiveness. I pray for this message, Lord. I pray of our hearts this morning. Let us be willing to do whatever you have for us, Lord. I pray use us here in this church. Lord, I pray us do a work for you. Help our community. Help us reach out to them. Lord, I pray any lost here this morning get saved for us too late. In Jesus' name.